Hi, listeners. Welcome to the She Speaks Life podcast, a weekly encouragement where we share our God stories. I'm your host, Jamie Elizabeth, and I am so glad you are spending time with us today to listen. Hi, friend. So glad you are with us. I am excited to have my friend Allie Gentry sharing today. She is a teacher of God's Word, a speaker, and is the women's director at Renovation Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Allie is the founder of Arise, a monthly event for women of all ages, churches, and backgrounds to come together, connect, worship, and grow in their faith. Allie is going to share with us about her season of struggle with depression and how God got her through some of her darkest days. Hi, Allie. I'm so glad you're here today.
Hi, Jamie. This is such an honor. Such an honor to be with you. Get to see your face after all these years. So good.
I know. We kind of met at one of the Beth Moore events. We never met face to face, but then we were having a Facebook private group created after the event, and we've just kind of been following each other on social media. Mm-hmm. And I'm just loving your journey that you have been on with the Lord and just seeing God's favor poured out on you. And I mean, you got to buy your first home, and that was so exciting. I feel like I was like with you because you're so good at Instagram.
I try.
And all the little stories, you know, you're very engaging. So I feel like I know you tremendously, and this is just so fun to be here and for you to share your struggles. I know it wasn't all peaches and roses, and I would love for you to kind of dive in and begin with your story and just kind of direct us on how God got you through some of those days where you thought you weren't going to get through.
Yeah, well, thank you. I want to speak to something really fast because if you go on Instagram, you got to follow my stories because this girl is single, okay? And I have commitment issues to my feed. So like posting something that's going to stay on my feed gives me anxiety because of commitment problems. I'm going to counseling, so we're going to work through that, I'm sure. But stories is where it's hilarious. At. 24-hour commitment gone. So, no, but you know, it's been such a journey, you know, just really over the past – I've been in ministry for 8 years now, but I mean, really, really fully speaking, writing, teaching, getting to do things like that for about 4 to 5 years now. And I would say people now, they look at my life and people I've met on this side of my journey would be shocked to hear what I've been through 10 years ago, 12 years ago of my life where they couldn't even believe that that was me. And it's true. Like when I look at my life story and I look back at where God's brought me from, I'm like, how was that my life? How was that my life? And how is this my life? Like there's no reason like God would be able, like, why would he do that? But he loves us so much and he redeems all things and he brings such good out of really dark times of our lives if we give that back over to him. He wants to do it, but he wants to do it with us. And so I give all glory to him for where I am at this point, because truly I shouldn't even be alive without him. And so I look back. So when I was growing up, I'm a pastor's kid. So, you know, we have our, you know, things that people think of us. And I really,
there's some labels, some definitions.
Some of them along the way. You either have the perfect ones that never do anything wrong, or you have the ones that are the crazy, rebellious, go off the deep end. And I was really struggling with that.
I was the rebellious one. Maybe my parents maybe should have been the pastors. I kind of acted like the past rebellious pastor kid. So, yeah, you know, I can relate to that. you know, people shocked where I'm at now versus where I was. So that yes. I can relate to.
I'm actually yeah. finding it's really when you grow up in church, you're just, it's almost like there's one way or the other. It's like, where are the people that were kind yeah. of, you know, a little in the in between? But, you know, I was actually struggling with that so much because I'm like, I know I'm a pastor's kid. I know what's right. I know what the Bible says, but I'm being pulled in these directions and I'm being pulled and told that this is who I'm supposed to be or this is how I'm supposed to act, or I have to be a leader. I have to do these things. And I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to. Yeah. But also I'm yeah. like, well, I know these things are true. So it's like this, I kept feeling like I had to be this perfect thing and trying to find my identity in being a pastor's kid or a leader. I played volleyball, being a varsity volleyball. Like I wanted to go to college for volleyball and ended up doing that. But I put all of my identity in that. I was in relationships, long relationships throughout high school, to where my identity was being his girlfriend. My identity was what I was doing, who I was with, but not really who I actually am. And so mm-hmm. my rootedness was in what everything around me was telling me I needed to be, yeah. should be, could be, and not really depending on what God had been speaking into my life or asking him, actually being like, yeah. Okay. And actually even taking in some of my quirks and some of my uniqueness and my, honestly, I'm a little moody. Okay. I like to tell it, I'm a little emo. Just let me be emo today. You know, I'm yeah. an emotional human being. I'm like super analytical. And I always thought these were huge faults in my life. And I'm like, God, why did mm-hmm. you make everyone else look more sane than me? Like why? I just felt like I was missing something. And I actually kind of blamed God along the way, but I also was looking for everyone else to define me. I get to college, mm-hmm. I go and I'm playing volleyball and, you know, trying to be the Christian girl that I knew I could be, you know, but then mm-hmm. I ended up and being sexually abused at 20. But after that, I tried to do all the things that were right to make up for it because I didn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. But that's a huge label. Again,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's on me. And so then I started to take that on as my identity. I tried to work my way and be perfect and do all these things till one day I just broke. I just broke because nothing mm-hmm. was fixing it because I was trying right. to redefine my own identity after that.
Yeah.
And so I get into this. I turn 21 and I'm like, nothing at church, nothing with those people were, I never felt like I could be real. I didn't feel like I could talk about the shame that I was carrying, the guilt that I was carrying, the pain that I was carrying. And honestly, some of it was obviously inflicted on me, but I also had a lot of self-infliction of shame and yeah. guilt and sin in my life that I felt like I couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah, you were holding on to way too much.
Way yeah. too much. And I mean, but also decisions in high school with my own relationships then, you know, so it's like this culmination of like, I always think of it as like the top of a Lego is how I kind of explain it to sometimes is I go into this mountaintop and I'm there for a minute, like it's kind of plateaued. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you drop back down to the next little, oh man, like I did something yeah. wrong again. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Like I can be perfect again. Go back up. Plateau. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Mess up. And I yeah. drop again. It was not this like hill, rolling hill experience. It was literally like up top, down immediately. Up yeah. top. And
major ledges.
Major. I am also an all or nothing human being. So I feel like that probably played into
yeah.
it. until I got to the point where it was just like, I'm not finding any hope or healing here in the Christian community or feeling like I was safe to talk about mm-hmm. the fact that I was depressed, that I was in pain. And so I went out into the world because I'm like, at least this community will accept me for what's happened to me, for decisions I've made. I don't have to actually tell them everything. And if I did, they'd be like, welcome. We're all broken. The problem yeah. with that, as mm-hmm. I found out after 2 years of drinking and partying and guys and all of those decisions, it never gave me any way out. All it did was mm-hmm. heap more pain, more shame, more guilt, and more darkness really in my life because, yeah, I was finally in a community that accepted me for who I was, but it was a community that gave me no hope.
Right.
And so I got to the point where I was suicidal and I've experienced depression growing up. I just depression and honestly suicidal thoughts when I was a teenager. And then again, but this was when I was 23, I was about to take my own life. on the closet floor, crying out to God. And I knew how I was going to take my life. I'd written a couple of letters to my family and I'm like, I'm done. Like, I actually cannot do this anymore. The weight of this world was too much. And honestly, what was interesting is I just cried out to God and I just said, I just want to be with you. Like, one, why would you make this life so miserable? So can I just go to heaven and be with you and it be over with?
Yeah. You know,
which is an interesting concept, because I don't think everyone always thinks about the fact that when people want to take their lives, like sometimes, like as believers, or when you're struggling with your faith and knowing what's right and but living in the world that's wrong, and you're just like, I just want to be in heaven, which is a strange incentive. And it's like, you don't know how to explain it until you're out of it.
I actually had a friend that it actually did take her life. But yeah, that was the same. She just wanted to be in heaven and be with her mom. She lost her mom when she was young. But yeah, it was exactly what you were just saying. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's just, it's so sad because, I mean, it's devastating. It's devastating because God knows the number of our days and he knows every breath that he is going to give us. So for us to take that on ourselves, it's really just devastating to everyone around us too, because they're like, wait, this was avoidable. How could we? And I have a wonderful family. So some people are like, okay, it's the family you grow up in. I'm like, I have the best family. Like, I like to say that. I would say I have one of the best families. Yeah. I have a great home environment. I always did. So it's not necessarily that all the time. And I felt like I would be helping them out by me not being a burden on them. And so you start to get these lies, like you're a burden. You're not enough. You're never going to get out of this. You're too much. You're not like, you're too little, like whatever it might be. Those lies. And that's what the enemy does.
Yeah.
He comes right at your identity. And he's been doing it since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, making them question their identity, question if they can trust God, question God's plan. And did he really say that? That's what it says in Genesis 3. Like, did God really say you can't do that? And just questioning, did God really make this? Why would God do this? Like, start to question. And when we know those truths, but we're struggling in the world, it's a very difficult place to be. But God met me in that moment, in that closet, and I was crying out to him, counting down from 10, saying, by one, you got to take me. And at the end of it, God really spoke to me and said, by about four, I had this overwhelming peace, like flood the closet that I had never known before. But when I got to the end of it, I really believe the Holy Spirit just spoke to my spirit, just saying, it's, you know, I love you, but it's time to make a choice. You either follow after me wholeheartedly and we're going to do this, or go the ways of the world. Just leave my name out of it. And I know I tell people this all the time. That's my Holy Spirit truth bomb. It doesn't sound very kind, but it's like, you know, God has a very strong message. The word does about being lukewarm. And, you know, I think it's for us to choose, but also I think a lot of us are exhausted, and I was exhausted and carrying the weight of the world because I was lukewarm. So it's not just for the choosing. It is also for our benefit that we do not live lukewarm, because it's an exhausting and broken and hard place to be straddling two sides and trying to be like, really, I know this is right. Cause I was still at church every Sunday when I was doing it. You know?
Yeah.
I was still there.
Yeah. You're in like that striving, right? And it's not the thriving, and you're free when you're not walking that lukewarm life. When you're just totally devoted to God and, you know, hey, yeah, we're all sinners, but when we're purposely choosing the sinful life, when we're being intentional to, you know, live worldly, I mean, that's another story. I mean, that definitely, it's bondage. It's that stronghold. And all it does is weigh you down. And you just feel like you're drowning in your mess. And the But true freedom is when you can just surrender and just let go and just really try to do whatever God has for you at that time. God is so cool at just meeting you right where you're at. He's not going to give you some big calling, right? You know, when you're like, gosh, Lord, I just need to get out of this, right? But he's going to direct you and heal you and bring you exactly what you need at that moment so that you can have that glimpse of hope, just like you were feeling that peace right then and there. That's what you needed. And I love how the Holy Spirit speaks to us uniquely. He knew he needed to talk to you in that way so that you could be in tune and go, oh, that's God.
Exactly. And that's the beauty about the fact that he created us. He knows exactly how to speak to us. He knows exactly how, because if he would have said that to someone else who doesn't take things, like, I need someone just to speak truth. Just like, let's just get to it. Because it kind of is like,
shoot me straight.
Yes. And I need that. I would prefer that, because I feel like then I know everything and then we can assess how to go forward. But when you don't know everything, it's kind of like tiptoeing, and I don't like that feeling. So, but someone else would be, if God said that to them, they'd be like, excuse me? Like, you know, so that's why I always tell people, it's my way that it's God speaking to me in my language. So he might not speak that way to you. However, that's he will speak to you. He will, and he will use different things to speak to you in the ways that you know, like that he knows you need to be spoken to in, or bring other people or different things along the way that you're like, oh, that meant so much to me, but it might not have meant anything to anyone else. And that's the beauty of how he loves us so uniquely. He loves us all, but he does it in unique ways. And
that's right.
I think it's a beautiful thing because he had to meet me in that way. And he did. And he did with such love and such peace and comfort to where it calmed me down enough to get up off that floor, go into my room, sat on my bed, and I just grabbed my Bible off of the shelf and just opened to Genesis 1 and just started reading. And I think that's why I love this story so much at the beginning of the Bible. Like, I speak so much on shame and guilt and what happened in the garden in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and the fallout from that, and how Jesus comes back in. And Hebrews 12, it talks about how Jesus scorned shame. Like, he actually like fixed what happened. And it said that in Genesis 2, it says they were naked and they felt no shame, Adam and Eve.
Right.
But when sin entered the world, they felt shame. They hid from everyone else. They hid from each other.
Yeah.
And then they hid from God. And that's what I was doing. I was hiding from everyone. I was in isolation. I was felt so much shame, and I was hiding from God because I'm like, you don't want to look at this. You know, it's kind of like a covering, like, no, God, like, I know you know what I've done, but like, I can't even look at you. Because it almost, you know, that shame, and that's what the enemy wants is us for us to isolate from each other and for us to isolate from God. And that's why I think it's beautiful that God comes after Adam and Eve and says, where are you? And I don't think it's in a mean, I don't think it's like, where are you? Like, you know, I don't have children, but I'm sure those words, if I do have one day, will definitely come out of my mouth in that tone.
It
what
will.
What did you do?
I love it when God asks questions. He did that with Adam and Eve, and he did that with Elijah. When Elijah ran off to the cave, he was scared of Jezebel. And if you read Elijah's story, he was in fear, and God called out, where are you? What are you doing? And I love it because the questions are so that it turns our direction from like, take the focus off myself and onto God.
Right. And to remember that he's looking for us. Like, I mean, he knows where we are. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Like, he knows where we are. He wants us to remember that he cares where we are, you know?
Right.
And I think when he says like, where are you? I think it's so important for us to even ask that question to ourselves. Where are we? Why are we feeling this way? What are the things in our life that could be attributing to this? Because I think sometimes we just strive, how you were saying, it's that striving. I should be here. I should be doing these things, but we can't get there if we're not acknowledging actually how we're living now. Because there are going to be things that have to change in the now, where we're located in this moment, to ever get to the place that we want to be. And there are going to be things that can't come with us anymore. So I get off of that floor, I'm reading my Bible, And I'm realizing I can't party anymore. I can't have the same friends that I had anymore. Like, I want to give my life fully over to Jesus and really turn this thing around. My life has to look different to get to where I feel like I know I want to be. And I know that God's, you know, calling me. I like to say God tricked me in the ministry, because if he would have told me in that moment, you've got to get up because you need to go speak in 10 years. I'd be like, first of all, I still might've gotten up, but I also would have been like, no, like, please don't do that to me.
I know. It's crazy. So that, I know, that's why I was like, he's not going to just shoot you everything he sees, you know, he's just going to meet you right where you're at, get you the healing so that you can just step forward, you know, just one step in the right direction.
Exactly. And that's his kindness. Like, actually, that's his mercy on us, because he loves us so much and his grace is abounding and we can't even understand it. Like, we can't, like, it's hard to sometimes just receive it in the moment for what we need in that moment, much less for like, okay, this is what's going to be given to me in 10 years. I wouldn't have known how to even handle that. And I think it could have distracted me in the moment. And I think it's beautiful how he knows that and he gives that to us. But in that moment, after all of those things, you have to cut things out of your life to really live fully into what God is asking of you and what actually the word is calling us to live. You know, there are things that are worldly that we've got to set aside to really run this race marked out for us. And it's not easy. Like, and I tell people, I was lonely before that, but I was surrounded by people. But then after that, I was alone, but I wasn't lonely anymore. Because I knew God was with me. I knew there was a plan, and I knew that he was going to surround me eventually with the right community. And then I found a new community. I found a new church home. And like, eventually my dad started a new church within a year of that, maybe like a little after a year. And I started working there just because I'm like, I just graduated. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'll just help, you know, which is hilarious because I am obviously... The longest commitment of my life is working at the church. And that's 8 years. And I'm like, if you would have told me then I was going to be there for 8 years, I would have left. Like, that's
like, I don't know what I'm doing. God's like, I know what you're going to be doing.
Exactly. That's why I think it's hilarious how he works, because it's like, we think we know what's going on. And he's like, oh, child.
Like, you're like, it's just temporary until I figure it out.
He's like, I'm going to let you think that so you don't run away, you know? So, and that's been the beauty of it. And once I realized, I actually started coaching high school volleyball after that. And I realized that my life had influence over the girls that I was leading in high school and varsity. I had to do all of that. And I actually got to lead the whole program because I was the head coach, that it was all of the girls that we did devotions with. It was a Christian high school.
So
and I realized but I was assistant coach for a few years and then head coach. But I just think in that, I just realized like the choices I make when no one else is looking, the choices I make in my day-to-day life matter to these girls, whether they know I'm making them or not. They're looking up to us. Like, they're looking up to me and wondering, how do I live this thing out? And I remember being in high school and having depression and being stuck in this, you know, unhealthy relationship. God bless him now. He's doing great. But like at the time, we were just immature high schooler. But like, you know, and speaking into their lives, which gave me such a desire to grow continually. So it's just beautiful how God continues to use those things. And then to end up eventually doing women's coordination, I was just coordinating what we were doing. And then one of the women just said, Allie, I think you need to teach like on rotation. And I'm like, No. I'm here to organize. I can do all these things. Just don't let me teach. Like, I'll do welcome, but and once I did it, I knew it. I knew it in that moment. That's what I was called to do, but it was a gradual growing. And so anyways, that's kind of been my story to where I am now. But the depression it almost took me out. And my dad said this too, because my dad didn't come to faith until he was 26, and he almost took his own life as well. And he's like, I'm just glad that I stuck around to see what the fight was all about. And I feel like that a lot. Like, I'm glad that I stuck around to see what that spiritual fight over my life was all about, because the enemy did not want me walking into my call. Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. And he doesn't want us to. He doesn't want anyone to. You don't have to be depressed to, like, mm-hmm. be like, oh, now the enemy doesn't want me to. No, it's like, no, the enemy does not want us to know our identity and to live into our calling, because that's what is the game changer. That's where we have so much influence. And that's when we feel like in alignment with who God created us to be in a world in this moment and to live our unique calling out. And that's why there's a fight against us. There just really is, and there's spiritual warfare. And I am glad that I stuck around to see what that fight was all about.
Oh my gosh.
So
I am too. You know, I hear your messages online, and I remember this one message on the whole description on the tabernacle. And I just thought that was so amazing how you really drew a picture of that, you know, of that what it looked like in the Old Testament, and just such a gifted teacher. You're so anointed. So I am so glad that you are with us today and really walking out the things that God has called you to. I wanted to hear a little more of your Arise that you founded, and share a little bit about that, so that, because I know it's online too. So if people don't live in the Phoenix area, they can watch it online.
Yes. So it is called Arise. It's a monthly gathering. Well, September through May, monthly gathering. We take the summer off around here. Everybody leaves the desert in the summer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we all take off. So that's why we
I've been in Phoenix. It was like we had a drive through. Probably we're getting to California, but we had to stop there for some business trip of my husband's. I've never been in such hot weather. I mean, it was, I felt like Hansel and Gretel, the fairy tale story where she pushed you in the oven.
That's
it was like 117 degrees, and it's the dry heat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Southern California girl, so I know that dry heat versus the humidity type of temperature hotness.
That's hilarious.
I was baking. I felt like a chocolate chip cookie in an oven.
It was that's honestly hot. How we describe the heat in Arizona in the summertime, because obviously we gradually get to that. So we're more used to the 117. We know how to deal with it. But like, first of all, I was in Charleston last week. It was like 80 with humidity and I almost passed out. I'm like, I could do 118 or 117 in the midsummer in Arizona desert, but like put humidity at 80 and I can't function. So it's really funny. We do say that like it's almost like when that feeling when you open an oven and the heat just waves at you. That's what it feels like when you walk outside in Arizona in the summer. That's hilarious.
But
we do get out of here. But it is from September to May. It is. This last season has been the third Tuesday of each month, but we ended up changing it. It used to be called Arise Phoenix, but because of COVID, it really forced us to go live and online. And we were then now in homes across the country, even in a couple other countries. And we just decided, you know, maybe we should drop the PHX on that and just stick with Arise. So we call it's Arise. And we have women from across the valley. It's what we call Phoenix area, the valley, come together once a month. We worship together. We have different speakers, different panels, different subjects from different churches, different ages, different backgrounds, not only the people on stage, but the people there who are attending. And it's really our hope is to connect. We have a connect hour usually with the food truck or catering, stuff outside, photo booth, all of that stuff every month too. But we also do like blogs every Saturday for discipleship help. We try to connect people with churches if they need it, organizations. We have a highlight every month of a nonprofit that we help here in Phoenix or partner with. So that way people can get connected here and really give back to our city, which ideally if we would kind of in other talks, hey, if anybody else wants an Arise in their city, talk to me. We can see the formula that we can come up with because we've been asked that a couple of times, which would be awesome to really, it would be formatted in that way, but for your city to have your women, your speakers, your worship leaders, your prayer warriors, like those people to all be represented there, you know? And I think that's
so cool.
The beautiful thing is to see the church. Unity is my heartbeat within the church, which is a whole nother subject of being, you know, kind of church hurt, which is also kind of a thing to talk about right now. But just really being like, you know what, we got to keep the main thing, because the world will know that Jesus is real by the way that we, the church, love each other. And so it's just a way to come together once a month and kind of just see what else God's up to in our city and be refreshed and renewed. It's kind of like a mini conference and everything.
I love
it. So it's online too. So
And do you hold it at a Renovation Church?
We do, because they're so kind to let us be there for free.
It's at
my home church, which is nice too, to, for setup and everything. But, you know, God calls us to do things that we feel ill-equipped for. But whenever he's calling it, he'll bring the people. When he called me to do that, I was like, what in the world? Like, you can't, please don't ask me to do this. Like, who's going to show up? Who's going to do these things? And he's not only brought enough people, he's brought more than enough. And it's just been a beautiful thing to be a part of. I'm honored to get to be a part of it, you know? So God is so kind and thankfully only gives us a little bit at a time.
It's been amazing to see how much it's been growing. I love seeing it from the beginning, the grassroots. And you're so transparent on social media. So it's like as if we're having coffee and you're sharing like your feelings on starting something out and how afraid you are. And I think that's important for people to know, you know, it's not going to be comfy and cozy when God calls us to do something. It's always going to be something we're not going to be comfortable with, and we're going to face fear straight on. But as long as you don't give into that fear and you put faith in that front seat and take fear out, then you're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's the beauty of getting to do this life adventure with God, is that unless we step out and we take those risks, we'll not know what. You know, there's actually people you wouldn't even know if you don't start those things or reach out to people or start that prayer ministry or the moms group or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be on a grand scale. But when God is asking us to step into those spaces, he's going to equip you. Like he hasn't failed us yet, but I will say it's not always easy. And I think that's where a lot of my passion is to talk about the hard things, because it wasn't something that I experienced growing up. And I'm just like, you know, we can experience joy and suffering at the same time, because it actually produces joy, which is mind boggling. But the reality of life is that it can be hard and it can be so good at the same time. And that's what my hope is, to talk about those things where there's depression before I came to Christ, depression now that I have been in ministry, dealing with it, learning the signs, learning how, you know, I can start to fall back into that trap. Or, you know, I also have other things, you know, medically that could cause me to feel those ways. Now I know those things. And I think it's so important for us to know those things, know our red flags. If we're dealing with it even right now and you're thinking, you know, like I'm a believer, but why am I struggling with these things? I think speaking it out, like I love that your podcast is She Speaks Life. Like there's so much power in speaking it out. Like if you're struggling to share it, because it loses a stronghold, loses a little bit of that weight. Now, does it lose all of it? Probably not. There's a lot of things you have to work through. You mentioned Elijah earlier, but Elijah, you know, I always say like, go, you know, like now it's like a meme, but I promise I was preaching this before the meme came out of take a nap and eat a snack. And I was like, you guys, we got to go to sleep. We got to eat some food. We got to drink some water and exercise. I'm like, Elijah tells us like the basics of like, if you're depressed, he was just doing awesome things for God and he's super depressed.
Yeah.
And God's like, you need to take, you need to go to sleep and you need to eat.
He didn't rest. That was his first mistake.
That was his problem. Yeah. And that's what I would say. I know it sounds simple, but like sleep is so important. What you're eating, drinking enough water and exercise, it seems so ridiculous, but it's literally in 1 Kings like 17 with, you know, 17, 18 and 19 and Elijah's story and his journey to Horeb and all those things. And I think speaking it though too is such a powerful thing, to just speak it out, because that's that, like the enemy losing that stronghold. And I just hope that as the church, we can speak out the truth, like be real, be honest, so that the enemy doesn't keep that isolation on us of feeling those things. And so, because that creates community. And the enemy has been after community since the very beginning. So when we can do that and speak to each other, like what you do, Jamie, is such a beautiful gift to us, and to allow us to come on and to share what God's doing is really powerful and builds community in so many great ways. So I'm grateful for that. And I just want to always be honest about the journey. You know, it's not always great, but you know, but God does such amazing things in the midst of all of it. And when we're with him, it's above and beyond what we could ask or imagine.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, thanks, Allie, for those kind words. I know I always say when you reveal, you heal. Like it's the first step to healing is when you reveal. And that always stuck with me, obviously, because it rhymes. But, you know, when we take it out of the darkness into the light, and it's the first step towards our healing journey.
Right.
And so we have some big news here. I heard just a few moments ago that you have your own radio show coming up.
I do. It was so fun to share that with you. I actually haven't shared it with a lot of people. So you're in the inner crew.
When you were talking about the big things, you know, that we need to step out, I'm like, oh yeah, talk about that radio show. Let's hear it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, honestly, talk about like doing things that you feel ill-equipped for. But you know, when you know that God is so in it, all I know is that he's proven himself over and over. He's never failed me. He's not going to start now. And I just, it was such a resounding yes on so many, after I sought counsel and prayer and just everything as well. I got a radio show here in Arizona coming out this summer. And so I'm really excited. It's a once a week radio show here, but it will also be put on to podcast. So I will definitely get that information as we're in the creative process right now to nail down everything else. But yes, it's almost here. Aww. And it's pretty crazy because I'm telling you, sometimes you have desires in your heart that you don't even know are there until God, at the right time, God ignites it. Or maybe he puts it there at that point.
Yeah.
And he just says, all right, this is, it's happening. And then you just can't help but like my heart wants to explode when I think about it. And I never even had it on my radar at all. And God brought it through. And I'm just like, only him, only him. So I'm so excited. Thank you for sharing in this excitement with me and everything. It's pretty fun.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, it's a fun adventure when you jump in with God. You. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
It really is. I'm like, God is not boring.
No.
Something's up if you're bored. Cause God will take you on that adventure. And I just think we need to be still and quiet and listen for him and be in prayer in our quiet time with him. And he'll take us on that adventure and show us where we're going, where we're heading. So
exactly.
So good. Well, I want to just wrap up with a takeaway. I know you had so much wisdom. I loved it. But if there's any kind of last words here of encouragement for the listeners to just apply to their own lives, we'd love to hear it.
I think honestly, the main thing I want people to know is they're not alone. You're not alone. And the best thing, if you're not the one struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts or any of like, but you know someone who is, it's reminding them that they're not alone. You don't have to fix them. I really think it's knowing that they are not in this alone, because community is like the way that God had community with us. He has given us community with each other. So when people know that they matter and they're not a burden, it helps so much. And that you have a call on your life, you have a purpose. God has, out of all of time, saw it fit for you to be here at this moment. And even if you're not struggling with this, I think it's just an important reminder that you have a purpose and a plan, and it's to lean into who he says you are and to the identity that he has placed in you and who your father is. And if we're not sure about that, go to the word. He's got it in there for you to know, to show you who you are. But you're not alone in this, and you have a purpose, and God will reveal that. And sometimes it's one small step at a time. But it's a beautiful journey, and it's worth it. It's worth the fight.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I love your encouragement and your hope that you brought today. Thank you, Allie, for coming on here.
What an honor. Thank you so much. You are a gift to the kingdom, and it's an honor to get to do this with you.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you so much for listening today.
I trust that God has encouraged you through this message. For more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com and sign up. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at jamieelizabeth, She Speaks Life. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth, She Speaks Life. Until next time, my friends, I pray God reveals himself through your own life story.